A New Way In. I've been working with Laura's suggestions regarding minimums and maximums for my long-term practice. If you haven't watched Laura's 8-minute min-max video on YouTube or on our website, you should do it now. My words will make more sense once you do. For those of you who know me, you already know that my long-term practice is writing. I've written consistently since I was 13 years old. It's been my longest chosen practice for over 40 years. Over the decades, I've tried many ways of engaging with this practice. I've brought many forms to it, daily and weekly schedules, product output and word count goals, long writes and short writes, morning writes and nighttime writes. Regardless of the forms above, the structure that I've used consistently for the last 15 years is based on Natalie Goldberg's writing practice. If you haven't heard of her, check out her book, Writing Down the Bones. I've attended weekend retreats, week-long writing workshops, and year-long writing intensives as a student and an assistant to Natalie. All that to say, I've been deeply invested in this practice for a long time, all the ups and downs of it. Here is what I've come to know. Through my own experience and through the journeys of our ICC students' engagement in practice, regardless of the forms or structures put in place, at the end of the day, we face ourselves in practice. We face the empty page or the computer screen, the gym or the yoga mat, our practice space, whatever that may be. It comes down to a moment in time when we either lean toward or lean away from our practice. This moment faces us anew each day. Just because we had a great practice yesterday does not mean today will be a walk in the park. I think the moment of our practice arriving may present the biggest opportunity and the hardest part of practice. Facing ourselves again and again and again, God, who wants that? Yet there's no getting away from it. Once underway, once the pen is moving across the page or the fingers are on the keys, once the laps are being swum, the guitar is being played, or the meditation is underway, we're in the practice. Things are often good in the middle of practicing because we are in moments of the practice itself. Some have said this is when practice is doing practice. There's movement or momentum or stillness. I don't know about you, but I don't tend to stress about the midway point of a practice in advance. It feels very different in the middle than in the deliberative moment to enter the practice itself. In the moment when we are choosing, practice or don't, that particular instant hangs there, pregnant with choice making. We're alone with ourselves and all of our alternatives to practicing. For some of us, that moment feels like it's over in a second, no big deal. We make the choice or we feel like the choice is made for us and we move quickly, no going back and forth. For some of us, though, the moment hangs out there like some huge pressure point. Will I go get my laptop or will I go have a snack? Are these moments tough for you? You know, that exact moment of choosing to do something like your practice or following through on something that matters to you? They're tough for me. In my interior, these moments of leaning in or leaning out feel like a big deal. Through my current way of seeing, I can load up all kinds of deliberations that make these moments feel big, like this one, quote, "If I don't go right now, I'm not stepping into what I'm meant to be doing with my life," end quote. How's that for making a moment load? Who needs that pressure? Even if I've defined my min-max, as you can see from Laura's video, as one 10-minute write, that minimum practice, even 10 minutes, can feel huge on a busy day, especially if I'm facing the moment with a loaded statement like the one above. So, alongside my min-max practice for writing, I have another tool that I often use. I call it my way in to my practice, my way in, regardless of whether it's a minimum or a maximum that day. Why is the way in an important part of my practice? It's important because in that exact moment of deciding to go right, my particular way in or way out of my practice shows up right in that moment. I've found that my way out is often related to my current way of making it such a big deal. For those of you who know some of our integral lesson lenses, I'm an upper left orienting Enneagram 4 with a 5 wing. When I decide even my minimum feels too big or too much for this moment, I've often overanalyzed it, felt defeated before beginning, and come up with a very good argument as to why I should put off practicing in this particular moment. I'm so predictable. Watch me make a big deal out of it, like clockwork. It's my way out of even my 10-minute minimum practice. So one sentence for one of my ways out is, I don't have the energy to invest in my very substantial life's work right now. On the other hand, my way in is actually related to a new way of being and tends to draw on something that I'm still developing. My way in needs to be something that brings me into my body, the upper right, and enables my upper left Enneagram 4-ness drama to come down a few notches. By the way, my new ways of being and ways in nearly always involve my body being engaged. My ways in have changed over the years. They need to stay fresh as I find my way around them. Do you want to know the way in that I'm using these days when it's time for me to write? My way in these days is to do something physical. I just shrug my shoulders and inside I mutter to myself, what the hell? So that's all it is. I shrug my shoulders and I mutter, what the hell? I have to tell you a secret. Even though I consider myself more of a words woman, the most important part of my way in to my writing practice is the shrugging of my shoulders, really. This teeny little somatic line upper right movement does something that no words can. It's like this little shrug of my shoulders somatically transmits something to my interior that sounds like, don't be ridiculous, Joanne, it's 10 fucking minutes. I'm shrugging my shoulders even now, even though you can't see it. But that's what the shrug feels like on the inside to me. Just don't be ridiculous. And let me tell you, there is no upper left dramatic Enneagram 4 argument that beats a shoulder shrug. If an argument tries to arise, I just shrug again. What I've also noticed is that regardless of the words that I mutter inside, the shrug often ends up being accompanied by raised eyebrows and a wry smile. You can probably hear me smiling even now. This smile kind of says, I'm on to you, Joanne. Shoulder shrugging, wry smile, Joanne, outmaneuvers. I can out-argue you, Joanne, every single time. A new way into your practice doesn't have to be big. In fact, the simpler the better. So as you play with the min-max principles of your own practice or your client's practices, it might just take a little shoulder shrug to meet the moment. What aspect of a new way of being could you employ as your way in to a practice or a conversation or an activity today? It might draw on an unused quadrant or some new aspect of a feminine or masculine capacity. It might draw on a physical move or a sentence or a song. What's your shoulder shrug? Please enjoy yourself.